You're listening to... No, that's not real.
You're listening to The Heidi Roux Show.
Yeah, that's better.
Inspiring. Entertaining. Real. The Heidi Roux Show.
Hey there. So it's just you and me today on the podcast. Yep, no guest. This is what you're going to hear during this podcast. Now, even if you do not own a small business, then I promise you there are going to be some nuggets in here that you will still be able to take away from this podcast and learn something. I promise you. So here's what you have in store this episode. I'm going to share exactly how much money that I made per year blogging. So many bloggers do not talk fees or how much money they make or anything like that. I'm going to tell you some of my greatest failures in life. And then I'm also going to share some of the challenges and struggles that I've had along the way or recently. I'm not saying that I have answers to those. I'm just saying I currently struggle with them. And then at the end, I'm going to share kind of something that I'm listening to and reading that I think may be helpful for you. Problem with small business is that a lot of times it can feel really lonely. I feel like nobody kind of gets you. And so I hope that by doing this, hopefully you'll learn from some of my struggles and challenges and also just maybe feel less alone. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to talk failures first of all. And I'm going to share three big failures in my life. So the first one is radio. My whole goal was to have my own morning show. Big failure in that. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how that all came to be. So I was on air full-time in radio for almost a decade, both in Atlanta and Chattanooga. And then I did some part-time work at B98.5 later on. But my whole goal was to be on a morning show and to help create kind of a morning show, to create a show. Now, I somewhat kind of achieved that at The Fish, very slightly. When I left the radio station, I was doing traffic, and I was doing it, I think, in the afternoons. But for a long time, too, I did a split shift where I was on the morning show and the afternoon show. And Kevin and Taylor there at The Fish, they're still there. They were really, really kind to me, and they really did help allow me to be a part of that morning show. And I'm so grateful for that. And then Dan also, I was on with him in the afternoons, and he actually really let me, like, you know, turn in a bunch of show ideas every day. So I would just turn in different topics to talk about, some ideas for different bits that we could infuse into the show. So that was really, really great. But it's still, I wasn't, you know, a main part of the morning show, and that was kind of my goal. So there came a point in my career 5 years ago where I just felt like there was no opportunity to grow. I was stuck doing the same thing, traffic, every day. Little bit by little bit, they were taking away any type of creativity that I could even contribute to shows. And there were a couple other issues, and I won't go into specifics, but there was a leadership change. I had a new boss, and it just was going in a bad direction, and I was really sad. And there was a new person that came on board that worked with me in the afternoons, and it was a really rough relationship. And I rarely have rough relationships with people, and it was just, it was hurtful and frustrating. And I tried to do everything that I could to mend that relationship. And it just, you know, I just kind of was treated by people that should be my peers as somebody that was underneath them. And so after a while, my husband at the time, he was working at The Fish, Mike Stout. He was doing the evening show. That's how we met. And we were married. And he said, Heidi, why don't you just quit? I was doing voiceover and on-camera stuff on the side, as well as my blog called Parties for Pennies. And he said, why don't you just quit and just do that full time? I just jumped. But there was still this part of me in my heart that just felt like I was such a failure because I hadn't met my goal at all. And that's really what I wanted to do. I still would want to do it, to be honest with you. It just came to a point where I had to make a choice. Either I was going to drown in what I was doing currently. I got some great job opportunities from other stations all around the country. The problem was, is that I was married and Mike, you know, had a full-time job at The Fish. He was into acting and Atlanta was just a much better place to act than, say, San Diego or Boston, where some of those job opportunities were. And it's also really hard. If two people are full-time on-air talent in radio, the probability of being able to find two other full-time jobs in the same city with radio is so slim. So I knew that if I took one of those job opportunities, that meant Mike would have to say no to everything else that he wanted to do. And so I just thought, okay, well, maybe this is just a different direction. But in my heart, it still really hurt. I ended up doing voiceover and on-camera stuff full-time and the blog full-time. And it was really tough the first couple years. I think I was grasping for straws. I think I was grasping for validation, because when you go from being somebody that's on air, everybody knows what you do, you know, every day, to then going into voiceover and on-camera stuff, it's not really that glamorous. And a lot of times, your work isn't really seen to a lot of people, not all the time, unless you book some crazy national commercial, but that happens very rarely. And so that was really hurtful and hard, too. And, of course, I go into these fields where there's, like, rejection every single day. People saying, nope, don't want you. And you can't help but think, okay, am I just not talented? Did I choose the wrong thing? Am I not beautiful enough? You know, am I not funny enough? Am I all the things? I really struggled a lot trying to figure out, how can I create a career that I'm happy with while also not getting resentful towards Mike? Because obviously he allowed me to quit and said, go, please try and pursue what you want to do. But it still wasn't my ultimate goal. So it felt like a big failure. Okay, so the second failure comes with my blog. So I had a blog called Parties for Pennies. And I started that while I was working in the radio. And it was just on the side. It was a creative outlet, which was fine when I was making a full-time income. It was great. It was a creative outlet. I learned so much. But then when I left the radio job and I wanted this to actually be a supplement to my income, man, it was tough. So I did my blog for 6 years. I posted every single Wednesday except for 2 weeks out of those entire 6 years. I was consistent. That was one thing that I said when I started my blog, is I said, okay, look, I don't know photography very well at the very beginning. You know, I don't quite know exactly what I'm doing, but all I will say is I will commit to being consistent. And I was. And I learned bit by bit. But that last year, from 5 to 6, I said, okay, this is my last fighting chance. Because up to that point, I think I was probably making between $8,000 to $10,000 a year through blogging. The last year, I hired a business coach. I set up strategies. I did a lot more online stuff so that it could be passive income. I mean, I had everything laid out to where it's like, okay, if this is going to make it, it's going to make it this year, and I'm going to give it a fighting chance. Well, the end of the year came, and it grossed about maybe $10,000 to $12,000 that year. But that's gross, okay? And the amount of time that I was spending on it was probably 3 to 4 full days each week. Now, that's not a really great income for that much time that you put into, especially after you'd already been building it for 5 years. So at the end of that year, I said, you know what? I gave it a fighting chance for this year. I did everything that I knew that I could do. And I just need to let this go and let it be just a hobby and not a business. So that was a business fail. Yep. Huge business fail. And then my third failure was, during that time that I was doing a blog, I had met all these great bloggers and became friends with them. They're wonderful and they're so talented. And so I wanted to combine stuff that I knew how to do with blogging and some of the bloggers that I knew. So I created a pilot talk show, and I did everything that I knew to do to create this pilot talk show. I gathered a group of girls ahead of time, like the main target demographic, and I asked them, you know, ideas on content. I laid out all the stuff to try and see, okay, will this work? Would this be something that you would watch, and how often, and what kind of format, and all this stuff. And they loved it. They all loved it. And they were so excited about it. So it was called The Modern Post. So after I did kind of all that my own market research, then I said, okay, let's go for it. So I plopped down almost $8,000 of my own money to create this pilot talk show. I got the crew together. I got the bloggers together, and I feel like we created something really great. We had a blogger that focused on food, fitness, interior decorating, fashion. And so, anyways, I thought it was great. After that, then came the time that I pitched it to networks. So I went to DC to this thing called Real Screen Summit, where you go and you pitch your shows. So I talked to all the big networks. I had all my marketing materials. I was so proud of what I did. In fact, I even had other production companies say, "I cannot believe you did all this stuff. This is just incredible." Everyone said that they loved the idea and the concept, but nobody wanted to buy it. No one wanted it to be on their channel. And their network. They just said, "I think this is something that probably would be better online." So after Real Screen Summit, I was like, okay, fine. Then I'll reach out to all the networks that I know online. So I reached out to YouTube, to Yahoo, to Netflix, to Amazon, and everything. And everyone said, nope, nope, nope. Total, I think by the time that I paid for the Real Screen Summit and for my travel up there and my hotel and all that stuff and all the marketing materials, I think it was close to $11,000 to $12,000 that I spent on this pilot talk show that no one wanted. So that was a huge failure and huge disappointment. So those are three huge failures that I know in my own life. Now I want to tell you about, now all of those, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but all of those I did learn something. In radio, it taught me how to connect to that one person, which I use in voiceover. It's really helped me with voiceover. For the blog, it helped me learn how to create email newsletters, to work with WordPress, photography. It gave me some great opportunities. I was able to be a guest on a nationally syndicated talk show, several other local talk shows. I was able to be a stylist for a big party brand called Kate Aspen, which was really exciting and wonderful. I got to work with Mohawk Flooring. You know, there was a lot of great opportunities, a lot of cool blogger opportunities. And then the pilot talk show, I'm still trying to exactly figure out what I could kind of take away from it. I think it just made me realize that I do love kind of producing stuff and putting it together and creating it. Okay, so current struggles and challenges. Now, I'm going to divide these up into the different areas that I have right now, which is voiceover and acting, our voiceover studio, Atlanta Voiceover Studio, and then the podcast. So let's start off with voiceover and acting. Right now, I am really struggling with finding balance in being able to carve out time for my own career in voiceover and acting outside of the studio stuff. Studio, with the Atlanta Voiceover Studio, there are always people emailing me, always people asking me stuff. We are growing, and so there's just all these demands, all these things that sometimes feel like they need to be done right now, and people are wanting answers right now. And so the day starts, I have good intentions to do my own thing, and then as the day goes by, I look at my to-do list, and I've done nothing for my own career outside of like audition or booked sessions. And that's no bueno. Because this year in particular, I've set a huge goal for my financials. It's the first year that I've set this type of goal. And so far, I'm on track. But in order to keep staying on track, I need to do the things that I know I need to be doing to continue to keep that momentum going with my own career. I'm not going to get into all the specifics of everything that I do as far as marketing and, you know, just all that stuff. But just so you know, that has just been a huge challenge for me. So what I'm trying to do is just, even if at the end of the day, nothing has been done, take 20 minutes or 30 minutes and try and do one thing or something small for my own voiceover or acting career. The second challenge with my, this specifically comes with acting, is last week I kind of had a pity party. If you're an actor, I pray that I'm not the only one that has had this. So I booked a national commercial, and it just came out last week. And this commercial, it was a great experience, outside of a couple things, but it was a great experience. I felt so, not assured, but I mean, I was very complimented by the director and the clients. He was from LA and he said, you know, you're a standout. You did great. We always wanted you, which just felt great. They let us improv. Now, the day was freezing cold and I was in a short skirt and short sleeves. It was in the 30s. I'd never been so cold in my life, but I sucked it up and I said, I'm just going to have a good attitude. I'm not going to complain. And yeah, and this is fun because I get to improv. I get to actually do what I want to do, right? And it's a national commercial. This is great. Well, the national commercial came out last week, and one of the guys is in perfect focus, and then me and another one is kind of blurry in the background. My husband wouldn't even be able to tell who I am. None of our improv stuff made it. None of even the looks or anything made it. And I cried. I cried myself to sleep, and it was so frustrating, I think, because, you know, one of the things that more than anything is you want to be able to create something great, right? And so it's hurtful when that kind of feels like it's squashed or it feels like no one cares or appreciates. And I know deep down it is about that brand. It's about their message. It's about selling their product. And I am just actually a product within that of trying to do that. So it's not personal. I totally get that, but it's still, I can't help it. I'm a human being and it hurts sometimes. So all that to say, I felt like I needed a little break from auditioning from TV and film and commercials. So I'm taking that right now and I'm not auditioning and I'm not really doing anything for, at least for a few months. I just needed like a little break. I always, rejection is part of it. I get that. I get up the next morning, pull myself together and just go forward and enjoy the whole process from auditioning to the commercial. But sometimes it just feels like, wait, why am I doing this? So that's kind of what I'm struggling with right now with acting. Okay, so let's move on to the Atlanta Voiceover Studio. The first thing that I'm really struggling with is challenging is my relationship with my husband, Mike. We co-own the studio together and it's just been really hard. We have always had a really great marriage, but owning a studio or a business together has been really tough. We're so different, which is why I love him, but it's also posed some really different challenges that we've never faced before. And one of those things is that at home, I feel like I have such grace for him and respect and adoration. But yet when it comes to business stuff, I feel like I have higher expectations and I don't feel like I have as much patience. And I think that I tend to get more frustrated, which I think comes across as that I don't respect him or his decisions or his ideas. And I'm really struggling with that. So he and I are going to working with a counselor and a business coach, and we're headed off to a little retreat in August to work through some stuff. And I know it'll all work out. It's just tough, to be honest with you. It's real tough. Okay, so the other thing about Atlanta Voiceover Studio, we just hired somebody to come in a couple days a week, which is wonderful. And I'm so grateful because it was just way too much on me. But now I have to figure out, okay, she's here. So how do I create systems that make it easy to delegate to other people? I hope that I'm not the only one that struggles with that. I don't exactly know how to do that. I'm just taking one thing at a time and trying to see if she can help me, or, you know, trying to create frameworks for systems so that not only could she take it and run with it, but if we hired somebody else down the road that they could also, things are just there in place. However, one of the things that I know for sure is going forward, anything that we implement, whether it's a new workshop, whether it's a new type of recording or a way, you know, system of recording or whatever it is, that whenever we do that, I will make sure to create a system ahead of time that can be easily delegated to somebody else. So that's one of the things that I would say is that I wish that I'd done in the beginning, but I didn't really know. The studio has grown much faster than we expected. We didn't think that it was going to grow this way, and so we've just been trying to figure it out as we go. We also are trying to figure out a business plan because, like I said, we've had a business plan, but it just keeps changing as we grow because there just are more needs, and it just expands faster than we imagined, which is great. It's just trying to figure all that out and how that looks in the future. Okay, this is the other part that struggle for the studio. We right now have outgrown our current space, so we're looking for a new space. Oh my gosh, that is crazy. If you've ever bought a house, you know how stressful that can be. So like multiply that from a business standpoint, because we've got to find a space that, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years can fit our needs and that we don't outgrow that too much, but that's also not too big for us that every month we're like, crap, we need to get more students in so we can pay our rent, because we don't ever want to feel that way. We want it to be that students come to us to learn and we don't feel that pressure for people just to pay for our workshops just so we can make sure that we pay our rent, if that makes any sense. For the last struggle or challenge, it's with this podcast. I'm trying to figure out how to better create kind of a tribe and a community that you can participate in and you can feel just part of something. And I'm not sure exactly how to do that. I'm not sure how to do that with the time that I have to commit to this podcast. I don't make any money off this podcast, maybe in the future, but right now a lot of people say that you have to have 1 million downloads before you're able to make money from a podcast. And I don't have 1 million downloads. I don't even have 100,000 downloads yet. Not too far off from the 100,000, which is great. But so I'm just trying to figure out how to use the podcast to continue to. It's just something that is kind of a joy for me to do, and I hope that it's inspiring and encouraging for you to listen to as well. So I'm just trying to figure all that out. Okay, let's move on to some of the lessons that I've learned. If you are someone that is a multi-passionate person, listen up, okay? And if you feel like it's so hard to find kind of satisfaction because you love so many different things, it's hard to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do? Then I have learned something this year that I want to share with you that's going to be a game changer for you. So this came out of a podcast that I listened to with Rob Bell and Oprah. Rob Bell was saying that he ran into a guy that cleans houses for a living. And he asked that guy, he said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, that must be tough to have to clean up people's messes. And the guy turned to him and he said, are you kidding me? I get to make order out of people's lives and I love it. And it just shook Rob Bell. He said, I realized then, you know what? If we're living our true purpose, then it doesn't matter what we're doing. We're going to be satisfied and happy. And I thought that was really fascinating. And so I started to think about all the different passions that I have and things that I've loved to do over the past of my career and stuff. And is there something that is a common thread or a common theme through all of those that would help me discover what my purpose is? And there was. It is that I am a creator. That is what I love to do and I will always do, no matter what job I'm in. And for some reason, finding that out and figuring that out gave me such peace, and it just put me at such ease that it's really changed my year, because it made me less stressed and less anxious about having to achieve a certain level in voiceover or acting or podcasting or the studio, because I realized it doesn't matter. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm creating, and I'm just going to keep creating no matter where life takes me. And it just put me at peace. So I hope that that helps you. Okay, so the second lesson that I learned is I so wish that I had done a small business before I went into corporate America or whatever. radio, if that's even considered corporate America, because this is why it changed my perspective being a small business owner, specifically with the studio too, because voiceover and acting, you are a small business, but you don't have people that could be potentially under you. So what I would do differently is I would show a lot more grace towards my bosses. Remember that boss that I talked to you about with the radio station? Yeah, I would show a ton more grace to bosses. They have a lot on their shoulders, especially if you own a company. All the risk is on you. And workers don't realize this a lot of times. Small business people, like for us at Atlanta Voiceover Studio, our instructors have made more money, way more money off of our studio than we have. And, you know, we've put all the work in from the very beginning and, you know, gave the investment to even start the whole thing. But that's just part of what being a small business owner is. So I would show so much more grace towards bosses because they have just a lot of responsibility, a lot of risk. And this is the other thing that I would do. And if you're in corporate America, this is going to be a secret for you being able to succeed for sure, okay? I would frame any ambition, any want, any kind of raise or anything like that that I would ask for, I would frame it around how it would make my boss's life easier, contribute to the bottom line, create a solution versus creating more problems or more work. When you do that, first of all, you will have your boss's ear. They'll want to hear you, and they will look at you as a valuable asset to the company. I guarantee you it'll make a huge difference, and I wish that I had learned that a long time ago. So lastly, I wanted to share something that I'm reading and I'm listening to that may encourage you. I have been loving Donald Miller's podcast called Building a Story Brand. And he also has a book called Building a Story Brand. And so I downloaded that book on Audible because, let's be honest, I don't read a ton because I fall asleep, if I'm totally honest. And I can multitask, so I can work out or, you know, run or whatever and listen to Audible. So I've been listening to his book, and it's just opened my eyes to a lot. On his podcast, he interviews a lot of business leaders and people that have made a huge difference and bring a lot of different things to the table. It's really good. So I would suggest that. Okay, so that's it for today's podcast. Definitely come back next week for our guest. Her name is Erica Ward. She's an interior designer, and she has set up her business with such great principles that you can use no matter what business you're in. And then also she shares a life-shattering event that happened just a month ago that has changed their entire family dynamic, and she shares that. So you don't want to miss it. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
As a Georgia peach, she loves pleasing people, so she wants to know how she can improve the show. So let her know either on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, at Heidi Rue. Also be kind, because she's my wife. And if she has a bad day, then I'm really going to hear about it.